Hi, and welcome to the pilot episode of the Mindful Sport Performance Podcast. I'm Dr. Keith Kaufman.
I'm Dr. Tim Pinot.
And we are co-developers of the Mindful Sport Performance Enhancement Mental Training Program, along with Carol Glass, as well as the brand new MSPE Institute, where we provide education and consultation on mindfulness and sport performance. So Tim, tell me, what are you most excited about in starting up this podcast?
Well, I mean, we've been doing this work for more than 10 years now, and I'm just really excited about having a platform to share it with more people. I think that kind of the approach that we take, this really holistic, kind of person-centered approach to helping athletes develop, not just get better at performance, but like to be better people. Like, I'm excited to talk about that, to share that with people.
Yeah, that we talk about that a lot, right? That this is sort of a performance enhancement workshop, MSPE, but what we're actually doing is training life skills, right? It's not just about sport on the field performance, but also feeling better and liking our sport more and feeling good about ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's such an important message. I think it's lost in this, like, I don't know, whatever this traditional environment is for sport that's so fear-based, and we talk about that a lot, about what motivates athletes, and it's just trying to avoid doing bad and not like really savoring what feels good and where their joy comes from.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll spend some time today talking about what brought Tim and I each to mindfulness and to MSPE, but first we thought we'd just say a little bit about what this podcast is and what our plan is for this and future pod episodes. So this podcast was really, we have to give credit to our producer, Taylor Brown, from the University of Texas at Austin. He attended one of our MSPE instructor trainings and thought, you know, hey, some of the things we're talking about would be a great podcast. And Tim and I were intrigued by the idea.
Yes. And so what really sparked your interest? Like, why did you think you wanted to do this?
Well, I felt like we wanted to really engage people in these kinds of discussions. You know, mindfulness in sport is such a new idea. And, you know, the research that's out there is really only a decade or so old, most of it. And, you know, we do these trainings, so we get a chance to interact with lots of coaches and administrators and athletes. But we wanted another way to put the word out there and hopefully start a really interesting discussion on not only MSPE, but mindfulness and how it can be used in sport and other realms of performance. So I'm super excited. Plus, I really believe, as you were saying, Tim, that so much of our achievement culture in sport, and I see it all the time in school and in other places, is based around fear and based around winning and based around perfection. And part of what I love so much about mindfulness is the emphasis on just what is and responding to that without getting lost in reactions. And so I'm super excited to engage this in a different way and hope this can be the start of many interesting discussions amongst us, but also the different guests that we might have. Yeah, anything that you'd want to add about that?
Well, yeah, I'm really excited about the guests. You know, I think, like you were talking about, the collaboration that's so necessary when you're doing this work, kind of inviting whoever the stakeholders are, whether it's parents or coaches or athletic department administrators, strength and conditioning coaches, all of these people play a part. And so one of the things we really wanted to do with the pod was to bring some of these people on to talk about their experiences, whether it's working with athletes or just working with mindfulness and other performance realms, their personal experiences as athletes, as coaches, just being able to engage in those conversations, to share all these different perspectives and figure out how they all fit together. I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, this will be exciting. Hopefully it will be fun. We definitely intend these discussions to be unscripted, so it'll be us sort of bantering around ideas and hopefully having some fascinating discussions with, Tim, as you said, the stakeholders in sport and performance, not only from a mindfulness perspective, but different perspectives as well. We really want this to be open and lively discussion. So yeah, we're super excited to be doing this. And as I mentioned, you know, we'll just say a bit about what the format of these things, at least what we intend for it to be. You know, so we'll probably give a little introduction like we're doing right now. And then we thought we would begin each of these episodes with just a very short mindfulness practice, right? Just something to kind of dip our toes in and get us oriented for what will hopefully be a great discussion to follow that. And then we'll have a discussion either amongst ourselves or with a guest. And the guests can range from athletes to coaches to other performers to sports psychologists to other psychologists. We sort of see it that the sky is the limit in terms of who we might talk to. So maybe what we can transition to now, Tim, is the first practice. And we really want to emphasize to people when we're doing these practices to do it in a safe way, right? So if you're in your car right now or if you're on a run right now and the practice we're going to do today wouldn't be safe for you to do, then maybe just listen and don't actually do it and come back to it later and try it when you have a moment that would be a better time to do it.
Yeah, don't close your eyes when you're driving. And so, like Keith was saying, we do want to start each episode with one of these short mindfulness practices to give the listeners a taste of what we're talking about when we're talking about mindfulness-based mental training. So we're going to try to do a real range to just provide that exposure and really to help people kind of take in what mindfulness is, what meditation is, what it actually looks like in practice, and really how varied that practice can be. But today we wanted to start with what's often considered the most foundational part of the practice, which is just a simple breathing meditation. And so in this meditation, there's not a right way to do it. So there's no particular way to breathe. You don't have to breathe more deeply or more slowly. It's really just about noticing. It's about letting yourself settle into wherever you are, bringing your attention into the present moment, anchoring your attention on something that's right here, right now. So for today, it's going to be your breath. And then just watching your breath, watching your mind's reactions to watching your breath. It's just really about being curious. So if you are in a place that's safe to do this, go ahead and take a deep breath. Close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Or if you'd rather, you can let your eyes stay open, just resting unfocused a few feet in front of you. And start by doing a quick body scan. Just check in with your feet. Notice if you're holding any tension there. There's no need to change anything. If you happen to notice tension, that's fine. It's just what's there. All we're asking you to do is just notice. And with each in-breath, let your attention rise up, checking in with your calves, your thighs, all the way up through your body, noticing maybe temperatures or feel the texture of your clothes on your skin or the sensation of air blowing across your skin, whatever's there. And once you've made your way up to the top of your head, gently bring your awareness to your breath. Maybe you notice the rising and falling in your torso. Maybe it's in your belly. Maybe it's in your chest. Or perhaps your attention's drawn to the sensation of air coming in and out of your nostrils. Noting that sense of coolness as you breathe in, warmth as you breathe out. Whatever grabs your attention is fine. Just let it fill your awareness. That rising and falling, the cycle of the breath, the in and out. Just stay with that gentle rhythm. And even in these last few seconds, your mind may have wandered. Maybe you thought about what you're going to do after you listen to this conversation you had earlier today. What popped into your head might be really important to you. That's fine. You'll have time to come back to it. Right now, all you're doing is watching your breath. So as best you can, allow that thought to just drift away out of your mind as you gently bring your focus back to the rising and falling of your torso, the gentle breeze in and out in your nostrils. And we'll do that as many times as it takes. Because each time your mind wanders, that's not any kind of failure. It's not a lapse in your attention. It's simply what minds do. They wander. All we're doing is noticing that. Noticing that and making a choice. In this moment, to bring our attention back. Back to the present. Back to the breath. There'll be a brief period of silence as you simply watch the gentle rhythm of your breath, watching your mind, watching it wander, and gently bringing it back again and again and again. As we get ready to bring this meditation to a close, gently wiggle your fingers and your toes. Bring some movement back into your body. Maybe check in with the points of contact with your body and the ground, the chair, the couch, wherever you're sitting. And then go ahead and take two deep, full breaths. Full inhalation, full exhalation, belly button all the way back to the spine on that exhale. Really clearing out the space for that next deep, full breath. And then when you're ready, you can sit back and open your eyes.
Well, thank you, Tim, for doing that. I love meditations like that for so many reasons. It's obviously, a breathing meditation, one of the foundational practices in a lot of mindfulness programs. And in our MSPE program, it's no different. We often start with these kinds of sedentary practices. And what makes MSPE so unique is we teach mindful movement, right? So we start off in a sedentary kind of way. And the idea being that we mentally train athletes to be able to, and coaches, to be able to maintain a mindful style of awareness while they're moving eventually up to full speed. But the reason why we developed the program the way we did is we feel like this is such a fundamental practice and something that's wonderful to get exposure to before you try really applying it into a performance activity. And in our experience, you get a lot of really cool reactions from participants in MSPE from doing this kind of practice, because so many of us are used to just being on the go, used to moving, and that's where we're comfortable. And when we just sit, when we just track something like the breath, for some people that can be really uncomfortable. And for other people that can be really liberating. And one of the things we love to do after we do a practice like this is just talk about it a little bit. So for me, in doing that practice with you, Tim, I just found it awesome to get a chance to pause for a moment in what's been a pretty busy day and just check in with my body and just be present. And certainly my attention wasn't perfect, and that's not the idea, but just to kind of be aware and how liberating that is. What was it like for you to kind of lead it on this first episode?
Yeah, I mean, kind of anxiety provoking, you know, because for me, it was a performance. And that's, I mean, kind of to go off what some of what you were saying, one of the reasons I think the mindfulness-based approach is so powerful is because it's about so much more than just sport. Right, we're constantly kind of judging and analyzing and criticizing, and it applies in so many different domains in our lives. And so, yeah, leading that meditation, I really noticed myself kind of being in my head a little bit about, well, how did that sound? And I don't know if I like that. And it reminds me of how easy it is to get pulled out of the moment.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And a discussion we find ourselves having all the time, right, is what are we after here with a practice like this? Are we after perfect attention? Are we after being totally non-judgmental? And we don't think that's realistic. That's not what this practice is about. It's really about just bringing that mindful awareness to whatever your experience is, right? So Tim, you've been doing mindfulness for a long time. You and I have taught mindfulness together for a long time. And yet still in a performance situation like this, of course you have anxious thoughts. Of course you have judgmental thoughts. And for us, what we're training and what we hope we can talk about on this pod is, well, how do we relate to that, right? How do we experience those moments? It's not about not having them, because that's impossible. Certainly in a pressure sport situation where it's chaos, right? Of course you're going to have thoughts like that. But how do you relate to those thoughts when they come up, right? That's the key.
Yeah, and it amazes me. I mean, how many times I'm talking with an athlete or talking with a coach, and the assumption is we need to make those thoughts and feelings go away. Like, that's the answer. If I'm anxious, I need to make the anxiety go away, and I need to be confident. I need to be happy. I need, you know, whatever it is. And it just, oh, what an elusive and impossible to meet goal, especially when you make your sense of self, sense of worth, sense of success contingent on these outcomes that we just can't control. I mean, we cannot control how we feel in any given moment.
Yeah, that word confidence, right? So many of the people that I work with individually, so many of the groups that we lead in MSPE, that's what people want is confidence. And yeah, I get it. And confidence is important. And certainly there's a link between confidence and performance. But, you know, what of course it's hard to feel confident in some of these big moments. And so what really is confidence? I mean, to me, what it's about is kind of bringing the constants to bear on a situation where there's a lot of variables. So sorry to kind of go into math terminology, but that's how I think about it, right? When we can see ourselves as constants amidst the chaotic, variable-filled performance environments, right? That to me is where we find confidence. It's not a prerequisite to performance. It's not something that stays with us. It's how we approach it. And when we can approach it through another word that I find myself using all the time, trust. Right? Trusting in ourselves, trusting that when adversity strikes or when chaos hits, that we can respond. That to me is how we tap into confidence. And also to me, that's where the power of, well, one of the ways that the power of mindfulness manifests in performance is we kind of learn how to do that.
Yeah. And I like that concept of trust and trust in yourself. Cause, I mean, I think I see this all the time, not just in the athletes I work with, but, you know, I have a private practice. I meet with a lot of people for stuff unrelated to performance. And people just, they like to plan. They like to predict. They like to know what's going to happen.
Control, right?
Oh, so elusive. And it's like, you know, you put all this stock in the plan that you make with seemingly no kind of awareness that, well, we can't predict the future. We just never know what's really going to happen. And so we think if we can plan it out, every detail, then we can be confident because we know what's going to happen. And I think we're really setting a trap for ourselves when we do that, because really it's confidence in my ability to be able to adapt, confidence in my ability to be able to take in the information that's there and make a good decision in that moment. And I really see mindfulness kind of feeding into that, because it's so much about open awareness, curiosity, right? Being present, noticing what's happening right here, right now, internally and externally. And so you can take in all that information when you're being mindful. So that, I think it does help you make better decisions. I think it does instill that sense of confidence in yourself, that you'll be able to flex in the ways that you need to, adapt in the ways that you need to when the moment calls for it.
Yeah, I think you're getting at this, but the other big C word besides confidence that I think is so relevant here is choice. Right? That ultimately what we're giving just by having this open, accepting style of awareness is choice in how we want to respond. It's not about trying to minimize the chaos or control the outcome. It's about taking things as they are and making a choice amidst all of that. How do I want to respond to this? And that is so powerful and so liberating and hard. Right? When you're first learning something like this, it's extremely hard to do. And so as a listener, if you're wondering like, oh, well, how would I do that? Or, you know, how does this all work? That's a pretty normal question to be asking at this time. And so hopefully over the course of these episodes and as Tim and I talk, but also as we talk to other people, some of that will start making a little more sense. But that idea of choice, right? That idea of picking our battles, what do we want to control? Sports psychologists all the time talk about control your controllables. And so do we want to try to control the outcome? Do we want to try to control the variables, the uncontrollable? Peter Haberl, who works with United States Olympic athletes, has this wonderful quote that we actually have on the homepage of our website. So thank you, Peter, for giving us the permission to use your wonderful words, which is, attention is the currency of performance, right? Implying that it is this precious, precious thing, but it's something that we have choice over how we spend it. And so to us, and how we teach MSPE, but the power that we see in mindfulness, it is so much about that empowerment of choice. How do we want to spend this most valuable of resources as a performer, right? Do we want to spend, do we want to try to control whether we win or lose? Do we want to control what our opponents are doing or what our teammates are doing? Or do we simply want to take it all in and make a choice in how we want to execute in a given moment? So I think we're already starting to do this, but we thought that, you know, for the rest of this first episode, maybe Tim and I could share a little bit about how we came to mindfulness. You know, why? What was the initial impetus for what became our MSPE program and our MSPE Institute? And you know, there's an academic history here, but also just what is the appeal to this kind of approach? Why is it different? You know, we've obviously seen an explosion of mindfulness in the last decade or so. And if you look, you know, and there's really very little published on mindfulness in sport, mindfulness in performance before the early to mid 2000s. But you see a lot that's coming out now, which we think is a really great thing. But sort of rewinding us back to that earlier time, you know, Tim, I'm curious, you know, for you, what brought you to this? Why did this initially make sense? Why mindfulness?
Yeah, so I feel like it starts definitely back when I was in college. So I was a rower. I rowed in high school and in college. And I feel like I was lucky in the sense that looking back, I see the ways that I was doing some mindfulness practice without even knowing what mindfulness really was. You know, when you're a rower, you're out kind of in the middle of a lake or in the middle of a river. You can't really be studying for a test or writing a paper when you're out on a boat. And I kind of had that thought when I would go out to practice. You know, we would push off from the dock, and if I had a deadline coming up or if I had a fight with a friend or something like that, I was really able to just put that away and say, well, you know what? I'm out in the middle of this river right now. There's nothing I can do about that. I will deal with that when I get off the water. And it provided me this break from that other stuff and let me just really kind of pour myself into practice. And so I didn't realize what I was doing at the time, though I see it now. But while that was going on, while I was in college rowing, I was also a philosophy major. So I'd gotten really interested in ethics and kind of that led me a little bit to Eastern philosophy and within kind of mindfulness or within the Buddhist tradition, you know, this idea of the Eightfold Path and kind of right intention and right speech and like how is it that I want to be in the world? And so I started getting really curious about mindfulness and meditation and started developing my own practice and was doing a lot of reading. But at the time, really didn't see any connection to performance, to sport. But after college, I continued to row and continued to coach. And then when I applied to graduate school, I applied for something completely different. I was hoping to do research on psychotherapy integration. And when I came to Catholic University, where Keith and I and Carol met, I remember actually having an interview with Carol. And the first thing she said to me was, "You don't really fit here on paper." And that was, it's not a great way to start an interview. But what she was saying was like, this isn't really the focus of our research anymore. We don't do this psychotherapy integration stuff. We're really doing more mindfulness and anxiety research. And I mean, I immediately perked up because I had been reading so much about mindfulness, but didn't think anyone was doing real research on it. And then she starts telling me about this work she's doing with a former student about mindfulness and sport. And I nearly jumped out of my seat because I don't know. It just, being an athlete had been such a big part of my identity, a big part of my life, and this idea that I could somehow integrate, you know, this professional path that I was on with this other passion that I had just kind of was just really exciting. And as soon as I started thinking about it, this intersection of mindfulness and performance, it's like this light bulb went off. Like, oh, of course, that self-doubt, that self-criticism, all of the judgments, I could look back and see all of the ways that I got in my own way as an athlete, all of the times that I kind of tanked a performance. And it was really about anxiety, not because my body wasn't ready to do it. It was because of my mind wasn't in the right space. And I could appreciate all the little ways that I had kind of helped myself in terms of being more mentally resilient, but I could so clearly see all the ways that I kind of was tripping myself up. And so I think it was really this personal connection for me of like what my sport kind of life could have been like, and what I could potentially help other people to achieve, right? To be a more calm and even keeled athlete, right? To unlock that potential, to really let people kind of take all of the hours and hours of physical training that they've been doing and translate that into performance. Because if we're not mentally clear, like if our mind isn't there, it doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how much endurance you have. If you start to believe that you can't do it, that belief so quickly becomes reality.
Yeah, I that's really well said. And you know, you mentioned Carol, who we both have to credit for the beginnings of our work in this, that she was doing work with a former student, and that former student was me. So we do all have this Catholic University connection, and you know, my story is a little bit different, but I unfortunately do not have Tim's svelte build, so was not able to be a college athlete, although sports have been my passion since I was a kid. Anyone who knows me, I am about the same height now as I was in sixth grade. So that unfortunately put a stop to my ambitious basketball career. And I sort of petered out in high school athletics, but I got into sports science. And so when I went to UNC Chapel Hill for college, I discovered this burgeoning field of sports psychology, which I had never heard of before. And was so fortunate to be there at the same time as Dr. John Silva, who is a real sort of Mount Rushmore figure in American sports psychology, and took his class and went to him one day and basically said, I want to do what you do. Tell me how to do it. And that kind of started me on this dual path of psychology and exercise science, and ended up at Catholic because, like Tim, I interviewed with Dr. Carol Glass, and she's similar. She didn't say quite as bluntly, you don't belong here, but she did sort of say, well, what are you into? What makes you different? And was intrigued by this kind of sport track that I was interested in. And there was no real precedent for that at Catholic, but she was open to letting me pursue it. And I feel so lucky that door was open to me. So again, not to make Carol blush, but I have to credit her again, because my first couple years, I didn't really do a whole lot with mindfulness until if you're at all familiar with a doctoral program, one of the dreaded parts of it is taking a comprehensive exam about halfway through. I know at least at our program, that was from day one, you were warned about what that experience is going to be like. And so for my comprehensive exam, which I took, one of the questions that I had to answer was about comparing and contrasting mindfulness with traditional cognitive behavioral approaches and drug treatments, which was a heck of a question. And thankfully, it was a take-home question, so I had a chance to educate myself on mindfulness, because to that point, I didn't know much about it. But I was able to basically write a paper on this contrast, and really, it just opened my eyes in terms of, wow, this is such a different way of being. And I guess I must have done a decent job, because when I was getting feedback on my comprehensive exam, Carol and my other co-advisor, Diane Arnkoff, kind of said, well, what do you think about looking at mindfulness in sport? I guess they were kind of intrigued by what I said, or I'd like to believe that that's why they asked me that question. But for my dissertation, what would you think about mindfulness in sport? And sort of tasked me with looking at what's out there, you know, what could we build on in terms of understanding mindfulness in sport. And so I was loving this idea. I was totally fired up about seeing where this could go. And it turned out, as I went to do a little literature review, that there was almost nothing, which was simultaneously exhilarating and terrifying to try to do something totally new. There was just so little out there. And the more I started to research and look into mindfulness, and especially what became the foundation of MSPE is Jon Kabat-Zinn's work with mindfulness-based stress reduction, I just loved the idea of actually being able to train the mind in this systematic way, which, at least to me, and maybe some folks would disagree with me, and that's okay, to me was such a different way to approach mental training in sport. So many of the traditional interventions, mental training programs that were out there, just to me, it was hard for me to connect A to B to see how systematic practice could lead to mental change. But something just clicked with this basically attentional training. How do you learn to understand and work with your own mind? That's to me what mindfulness finally gave some insight into how to do. And as I read Jon Kabat-Zinn's stuff and other people's stuff, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I can admit that, and proudly will say that is something I deal with in my life. And to read things that talk about basically there are no wrong answers, right? That it basically is what it is. Your experience is your experience. And just focusing on the present, letting go of the past, not trying to predict and control the future, that was just like a salve for me as a perfectionist in just figuring out an entirely different way to relate to the world. So yes, in helping athletes and helping coaches and helping performers, but even me as a quote unquote expert, right? Someone who's been practicing mindfulness and studying mindfulness for a while, it's still something that I can integrate every single day, right? And I think about what Tim was just talking about with doing this podcast and doing that introductory exercise and the judgments that come up. I remember attending a training at a very well-respected institution, and the person leading the training began it by saying, "I am present 100% of the time." And right there, that person lost me, right? This was someone who is very known and respected as an expert in mindfulness. And to me, there is no 100% present, right? It's a constant recalibration. And that's another reason why I love that breathing practice we did in the beginning, right? Where you're basically training this skill of noticing attention and bringing attention back, right? We talk about it in MSPE as those are the reps in the mental weight room of strengthening that attention muscle, and how many parallels there are between mindfulness practices and physical training. It just fits. So to me, that's what's so powerful about this stuff and what eventually gave birth to MSPE and the work that we're doing now.
Yeah, and it really is trainable. I mean, I don't think that a lot of people appreciate it. It sounds like that was part of your own struggle, but seeing the connection between some of this mental training stuff and actual performance. Because I do think there has been this assumption in sport that just if you're mentally resilient, you're mentally resilient. And if you're not, you're not. I certainly remember that attitude on the teams that I was on. I mean, I remember the first 2 weeks of any season, you know, the coach was like, well, we're going to see who's going to survive and who doesn't, you know, especially the crop of novices who come on. And at the time, it made sense to me and it made me feel good because I was one of the ones who survived. So I was like, oh, clearly I'm doing something right. But I think about all the people who didn't, right? All the people who needed to quit or didn't feel like they could hack it or were given that message. And how many more of them probably would have had really successful careers in sport if they had just been trained to do the mental piece? I do think that's part of why, like, it's not more integrated into sport now, because I think, you know, the athletes who are successful and go on to become coaches are the athletes who just kind of naturally found little ways to be mentally resilient. They weren't trained in it. They didn't have to figure it out. And so when you come to them and say, hey, coach, you know, I want to kind of introduce this to your athletes, there's this resistance of like, well, I didn't need that. I was successful. So why would my athletes need that? Because the people who did need it aren't the people who made it to be coaches. And so I love that we're putting this out there now, this structure, right? This approach to mental training to make it clear and concrete. Like there is a how-to. That's what, I mean, one of the things I really like about our program, MSPE, is that, you know, any athlete, any coach can really can pick it up and take away a sense of what this mental training program is going to look like. You know, in the same way that they can probably sit down and make a really detailed, nuanced physical training program for an entire season, you can do the same thing for a mental training program. And that, you know, kind of embracing that like this is just like physical training. It requires dedication and commitment and a strategy. Like taking that perspective, I think, is really, really important, really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Tim said, I think that's one of the real battles that we have in introducing MSPE and introducing mindfulness training is you use that word, and it's, I think, the buzzword we find ourselves saying all the time now is integration, right? Is how do we integrate this into what we do? There's a cliche in sports psychology talking about parachuting in, right? A lot of times you'll bring in a sports psychologist when there's an issue, when there's a crisis, you know, come on in and fix it, and then we'll see you later. And we want to be candid with people about mindfulness and MSPE, that it's an ongoing practice. It's not something you can just do and then walk away and expect to see any kind of benefit, right? That it's an ongoing thing. And so one of the real benefits we hope of doing this podcast and reaching out in this way is that we can encourage and talk about how to do that sort of integration, right? And hopefully talk to some coaches, talk to some athletes who have done this. And share some ideas. We're fortunate that we've been collaborating with one of the Premier League clubs in England, and they've been so receptive and open, and we're starting to see the power of what we can do when we can integrate this stuff. But that is really an anomaly at this point. We'd like that to be more of a norm, and that's kind of our journey here, our quest. And so we're hoping this podcast can be one little piece of that.
Yeah, so I thank you all for tuning in. We are really excited to be here, to be doing this, to be sharing this with all of you. On the next pod, we'll have a guest joining us to talk about their experience actually using MSPE with their team. So hopefully that'll be really kind of interesting for everybody. And just another thank you to our producer, Taylor Brown, and of course to our colleague, Dr. Carol Glass, doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work for the pod.
And as we said in the beginning, one of the things we're hoping this podcast can do is really connect us with listeners, right? Beyond our trainings, beyond our publications, and hopefully get a little more engagement going on. So if you listened and you're interested in this and you want to reach out, there's lots of ways you can contact us. You can reach out through our website, which is mindfulsportperformance.org. You can also reach out through our Facebook page, the MSPE Facebook page. And then me, Keith Kaufman, you can contact me or reach out to me through Twitter. And my Twitter handle is at mindfulsportdoc. So any of those ways, please reach out, engage. Hopefully we can get some awesome discussions going on this topic. And also feel free to rate us and follow us. And, you know, we hope that we will be available on as many platforms as possible. And in future pods, we'll be able to announce more specifically how you can find us and how you can get more regular access. But when you do find us, please rate us and give us 5 stars if you're willing. So thanks. Thank you, Tim. And hopefully this is the beginning of something super fun.
Yes, definitely. Thanks, Keith. And thank you all for tuning in.